psychological, all relationships. The question becomes, is it going to take so much I can't deal with it? Is it going to take so much it puts me in a place? Ooh, let me, this is crazy preaching. Let me argue against my own hypothesis. Let me argue against my own hypothesis. Y'all tired of me? I got another service. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. That's all. Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So let me argue against myself and tell you that whatever Christianity is, it is bearing with people. It is trying your best to forgive. It is going further than street people. Street people say, I'm through with you. Don't ever speak to me again. But kingdom people say, no, I really should be through with you, but I'm going to try. You dogged me last week, but I'm going to try. I'm going to call you back. You keep hurt. I'm going to try. This is why I'm amazed at people who want to quit our church or quit ministry. Pastor, what happened? Where you been, baby? Well, I came up to you one Sunday, and you kind of half-hugged me, Pastor, and I was going through a lot. Now, you don't know that the day you hugged me, Lady Brennan had just called me and told me something crazy one of my kids did. You don't know one of the campus pastors just called me and said the lights had went out during the sermon so the people didn't get the words. You don't know that maybe me and her going through some stuff and so you happen to catch me at a bad time. I got a question for you. Did you think you joined heaven or the church? People kill me. I'm through with the word church. They didn't call me back. Well, your man didn't either. You still sleeping with him. Y'all not having church with me. How can you forgive dirty people and not forgive the church because we dropped it? I'm sorry we hurt your feelings. I'm sorry Lady Vernon missed you. I'm sorry the elder walked past you. I'm sorry one of the ushers dogged you. I'm sorry the leader was a trip. They are human beings, not angels. And what I want us to be is a forgiving church. You don't know if it's that time of the month for her. You don't know if her husband slapped her this morning. You don't know what that brother dealing with. You don't know what his wife just said. So because he's not his best today, give the brother some room the way God gave you some room and forgive. I gotta go. Ephesians 4. Verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Amen. You arguing against your own self, Pastor. You said get rid of unhealthy relationships, and now you're pretty much telling us to hang in there. Oh, really? There's one more scripture. Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. NLT says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Let's go back to NRSV version. If it is possible, if it is possible. Now, I'm not an English major, I'm a theology major, but I think I know this much about English. If Paul said, if it is possible, that means with some people, it just ain't possible. Lean on somebody and say, I tried to be their friend. Go ahead. I tried to be her sister, but every time I talk to her, she mad at me because she not me, and she keep trying to take me back. And every time I hang up the phone with her, she bring the creature out of me, and I'm trying to be a kingdom woman, but I need just a little more Jesus before I can call her again. And there's some people in your life that's kin to you that you got to say, I love you, but may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another, striving to do our best. Because if I keep talking to you, you're going to make me hit.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. We thank God for this blessed day on this third Sunday in the month of February. God has said yes to us being here to assemble in this sacred place and space to give God glory and to hear from Him. To all of our ministers and our ministry leaders, to all of you who assemble, then to all online worshipers, we thank God for you as well today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we still have a responsibility and a right to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Are you glad you're in church this morning? Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Well, thank God for our music ministry blessing us so richly this morning. Come on, give God praise for them. Amen. Job well done on this morning, setting the atmosphere and lifting us in our worship moment today. Amen. If you have your Bible, we invite you to join us to a familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord laid this on our heart to share with you today. From the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5, there's a word from the Lord today we want to share with you, hopefully to encourage you. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1 and a few of the following. Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of the Word of God, so it may read a little different than yours, but still God's word yet and still. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the scripture reads thusly. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, somebody say this time. This time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything. Somebody say everything. And followed Jesus. Amen. We're going to snatch our subject from verse number 5 there and tag this text, "If you say so, Lord." You may be seated in the presence of God. "If you say so, Lord." That statement that Simon makes, verse number 5, beloved, is a statement of half faith. It's a statement of agreement without alignment. Some of us today may be in that place where we have somewhat of a flawed faith. We have somewhat of a partial faith because we really don't know how it's going to go. We're not sure about the results, but we're going to do what we can because the Lord says so. You know, when someone tells you, "If you say so," it doesn't necessarily mean you believe them. It just means you're going to surrender to whatever it is they say. But I believe today that God, if you will accept today what God wants to say to you and take this pericope and use it for your life, you will see God move by his spirit in your life in amazing ways. You're going to see God bless you in unsearchable ways. You're going to see elevation. You're going to see growth. You're going to see some prosperity in your walk with God. Understand today, y'all, this word today has nothing to do with the fish, really. Has nothing to do with the boat, has nothing to do with the rod or the reel or the nets or anything like that. Really, it's about how we handle the word of God. If you and I are able to apply and obey the word of God, then life can be a whole lot easier than it is. Can I tell you today that many of us have been under too much word all this time, all the word we've been under, to live beneath all means. We've been under too much word to live beyond expectation. But the people of God have got to grow to a point that we hear God's word and trust God's word and apply God's word. Paul tells us that we're not just to be, tells us not to be just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word as well. Now faith cometh by hearing, Paul says, but then hearing by the word of God. The word of God, which is supposed to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we ought to hide its words in our heart, that we might not sin against God. Oh, the word of God is our guidebook. The word of God is our daily bread. The word of God is our help. The word of God is our strength. The word of God is our light. The word of God is our elevation. We've got to learn, y'all, that when tricks don't work, when cliches don't work, you still have the word of God. Has anybody reckoned in their spirit that I'm out here on your word? I'm out here on your word, and if I die on the battlefield, at least I'm out here on your word. You and I, y'all, here's the catch for today. The word of God for you today is work with the word. And if you work with the word and let the word work with you, you're going to see change in your life. You'll see change in your family. Stop letting Google tell you what to do. Stop letting TikTok tell you what to do. You've got a word of God that will guide you, that will lead you, that will instruct you, that will prepare you, that will elevate you. Somebody ought to thank God today for his word. Thank God for the word. It's the word that makes a difference in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. He speaks the word unto Satan. He says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the same word that Jesus took in chapter 4 into the synagogue, and he taught the word of God. It's the same word that he took into Simon's house and delivered his mother-in-law of a fever. He took the word. It's the same word that people wanted. There was a hunger for the word of God. And can I tell you why we're failing today? Can I tell you why we're struggling in our community, in our homes, and even in our churches? It's because we got more church than we do word. We know how to do church. We know how to do our job. We know how to do our thing, but we don't have any word in us. And God's word to us today is we've got to learn to accept it and to apply it and to believe it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't go this far with a God I don't believe in. I wouldn't go this far and come to church and go through all I went through and then hear God's word and not apply it to my life. I got a funny feeling and a sneaky suspicion that if you just take God's word, work with it, live in it, quote it, don't just quote it, but live it as your daily bread, you will see some change in your life. Our text today takes us to another situation where Jesus is present. Mr. Shout. Jesus is present. He's around the Sea of Galilee, and he comes at the right time. What's the wrong time to you is the right time to the Lord. That's a word for somebody who's in a valley right now. Because you got a God who will even come to your valley and meet you right where you are. He'll come in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your heartache. Somebody will be able to thank God in Zion and thank God for showing up. He is present in the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Genesaret. He is in this region, and he comes because of the crowds of people who are following the word. I like that kind of people because they don't even need a synagogue. They don't have to have a steeple, but they're just hungry for the word. Oh, Lord, New Zion, I hunger for the day. I look for the day. I'm excited about the day that you and I won't be looking for tricks. We won't be looking for games. We won't be looking for handouts. But I pray to God that one day three or four people will be hungry for the word. That you don't want anybody to do anything. You just want God to teach you and to talk to you and to help you. Because can I tell you something? When you start hearing the word, you won't need that many miracles. I don't know who that was for, but too many of us need a miracle but don't have a message. But when you start getting a message, you ain't got to have that many miracles because you now learn how to be a good steward of what God has taught you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I look for the day where people are just like Luke chapter 5, that it's a great pressing of people who are hungry for the word. I got a question for you today. Why did you come? Can't nobody answer this but you. Why did you come? Did you come to see how somebody going to be looking? Did you come because it's Sunday morning? Did you come because you're supposed to? Or did you come because you're hungry? You done went through some stuff this week, and you know that one word from God can change your life. One word from the Lord will turn this thing around. One word from God will lift me up in my bowed down head. Somebody ought to thank God today if you came for a word. I didn't come to be sad. I didn't come to be miserable. It don't matter what I've been through. One word from God can give me what I need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. One word from God will give you what you need to keep on taking one foot above another. I need about three witnesses. I'll be number four who learned it when people are gone, when the tricks are gone. You still got a word from God that'll give you what you need. It'll give you what you got to hold on. They are running after Jesus. They're running after Jesus. They're running after Jesus to hear his message. They're not running for miracles, y'all. They're running to hear a message. Lord, I wish I had some folk, y'all, who was just learning. I'm not coming for catchphrases. I'm not coming for some hype. I'm not coming for a smoke machine. I'm not coming for all kind of lights. I'm not coming for all these screens. I just come for a word. Because I know who can help me in my time of trouble. I know it can help me when I'm going through. I know it can help me when I'm struggling. There's a word from God. And the Bible said there's a crowd of people who are running after Jesus to hear more of his teaching. And Jesus says, I'm so much of a Jesus, I'm going to take this opportunity. And it begins today when you say, I say, if you say so, Lord, it begins with a frustrating encounter. A frustrating encounter. The Bible says that Jesus comes to this setting. He comes to this setting right after a frustrating moment. These men, these fishermen, have endured or encountered a hard night of fishing. They have gone through a futile and a fruitless night of fishing. They are experts. That's what they do for a living. It's how they make their money, and they spent all night working and trying to bring about some fish, and the Bible says Jesus shows up and sees empty boats. I'm going to try it again. Jesus shows up and sees empty boats. They're supposed to be in the boat, but because of what they've encountered, they're not in the boat. They're not where they're supposed to be because of the frustration of what they went through. They're not where they're assigned to be, not where they're appointed to be, because they're just too frustrated. Life is happening, and it's not going the way they want life to go, and it caused them not to be where they ought to be. And here is your shout, that even when you don't show up, your shout is the Lord still shows up. You ought to thank God today that he'll show up somewhere you don't want to go, and he'll show up where you left to make sure you come back to where you ought to be. Thanks be to God today that when I left the boat, he didn't leave me. Somebody ought to thank God that I don't let my frustration, I don't let my misery, and he didn't let that stop him from showing up. He sees now. They're frustrated. And I thought I was in a real church today who knows something about frustration. Bible says the boats were empty. Supposed to be some fishermen in it, but they done left it. And they're washing their nets. Washing their nets has a twofold shout to it. Because the first part of the shout is they're so frustrated they done gave up. But if they're washing their net, they're getting the trash out. They're getting all the stuff they didn't need out. Maybe you're frustrated this morning is because you still got too much trash in your net. You got too much past mistake, too much past opinion, what people have said, too much of that stuff is still in your net. In case you ain't know by now, your net is you. Your boat is your life, and sometimes you will leave your life and you will drop what God said because something ain't going good. It ain't because God don't want to bless you, ain't because God don't want to lift you, but you can't get the trash out. You still got too much past mistake. You still got 5 years ago. You still got last week. You still got last year with somebody saying, some kind of church hurt, somebody's opinion, somebody's lie, and it's too much trash, and God said, clean it. Frustrating encounter. They have, it's the new day. Same them. I'm gonna try it again. It's a new day, same them. The day changed, but they didn't. But they're carrying the momentum of a failure. Something didn't go right. And they're living in the frustration of what didn't go right. That sounds a whole lot of my people this morning. Who are here today, you may even be in the boat, but you didn't bring a net. Because the last time you fished, it did not work. The last time you tried, it did not work. And so now we are going through the motions. You are showing up as a fisherman on the boat and don't have a net. Somebody didn't come to lift holy hands. Somebody didn't come to hear a word. Somebody didn't come to be empowered. Somebody didn't come to be in fellowship. You just here because you know you're supposed to. But I come to talk to two people who wouldn't accept it, that I got another day. And because I got another day and the Lord showed up, I got another opportunity. Bad, y'all. It's bad when God gives you a new day, but you in an old mess. How can you walk in today and still be tripping off yesterday? That's good. I got a question for you. Can you change it? Somebody this morning is in here with last week's frustration, last month's frustration and depression, and God has given you and I a brand new day. It begins a frustrating encounter because they have encountered a long night of doing what they know how to do. And what do you do, ladies and gentlemen, when what you know how to do no longer works? The one thing you know you can do, it doesn't work anymore. Uh-oh. What you know you're good at, it's not producing now. Because you know what's happening? This is not the first time Jesus talked to these guys. This is the second call. Lord, help me now. This is the second call to these brothers. He wants to make disciples. But they too hooked up on fishing to be faithful. And they're depending on their expertise, their intellect, their knowledge to help them live. And so the Bible says it's the second time. The first time he met them back in Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 4, he told them, you're going to be fishers of men. They fished, followed them a few steps, and went back. And life happened, and here's another circumstance when life, what they know to do, don't work. And here's where grace and mercy helps us, because he shows up to people who are hard-headed. Amen. He'll show up again for people who weren't trusting the first. I thought I was in a real church. Everybody didn't come in when the Lord said come in. It took some time. It took some grace and mercy. Some of y'all don't want to tell the truth, but you ain't grow up saying how great thou art. Some other stuff you went through before God saved you. You barely made it in. Say the first time he done called you to go. And he sees this boat, and he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the word in a different manner. Which leads to the second point. It begins not also with a friendly, sorry, a frustrating encounter, but now it's got to be a friendly exchange. Wow. He takes Peter's boat. Try it again. And says, put it out a little bit so I can preach from it. Lord have mercy. Y'all got your Bible open still? Text says, instructs the owner of the boat, hey, you, come over there washing that net out and come move this little boat of yours, just stretch it out just a little bit so I can be seen and so I can be heard. Now, here's what I love about God, that the Lord, this is for somebody, this ain't for everybody, the Lord will show up to where you failed and use it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I just got through telling y'all that they spent all night in this boat, and couldn't produce no fish. And the Lord showed up the next day and wants the very thing you failed in and wants to use it to bring about some success. Lord, who am I helping today? That you are getting ready to get rid of your whole boat and all your nets. And the Lord say, don't get rid of it. Just exchange it to me for a minute. I dare you to let the Lord borrow it for a minute and let him take control of it. And now it's going to be under new ownership and be under new management. And watch what can happen when you start exchanging ownership. Here it is. Some of us got to make a decision today. Some of us got a colossal decision. Or you going to take your hands off it long enough for him to get in it. Okay, now this is one of those rhetorical things for you just to meditate on. You've been trying to fix your life yourself. How's that going? You trying to fix your own problems. Fix your own children. Fix your own marriage. Fix your own health. Maybe you need to exchange it for a season and stop trying to run something that you can't take care of. Can the Lord borrow your boat? Will you give him control of your life and say, you know, you might know better than I know? Now watch this. Jesus initially uses Peter's boat as a pulpit. From this boat, he declared a word from it. Now, don't get so hung up. We ought to thank God for the word that comes from it. But you ought to thank God for the word that's in it. Man, I'm trying. I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. If you just let the Lord come in and let him take over and let him do what he do, you get blessed by his presence and others get blessed by proclamation. Bible says that he begins to teach from the boat. Now, Peter, you can't sit here and say that boat ain't for preaching. That boat for fishing. Because your last time you was in it, you was messing up. Don't be so insecure that you won't let the Lord show up and then take ownership of your boat. Well, y'all ain't interested, so let me go on her. It's got to be a friendly exchange. We got too many control freaks in this house right now. Too many of y'all been pumping yourself up and other people that you got the answer. You've been telling folk that you are the one who can get you where you need to go. And now you done failed. Now it's being made known. Because guess what? Peter and Andrew and James and John, these are professional fishermen. And when everybody passed by, they see empty boats. You can't hide it no more. You going through some stuff too. You might be a professional Christian, but you got some pain. You might be a professional churchgoer, but you got some sorrow. Every now and then, you and I going to have a season of just dealing with life where you got to trust and say, God, come take this boat. I don't know what to do with it. I can't control it. I can't run it. But Lord, I ask you now to come in my boat and bless me any way you can. I wish I had somebody in Zion who made up their mind today. Lord, you can have my boat. You can have my job. You can have my children. You can have my house. You can have me. Bless my boat. Then, after Jesus teaches, after he teaches, and the people are still listening, because here's a shout. While Peter watching his boat, he hearing God's word. See, if you hadn't failed, you wouldn't have got close. I wish I had some real people. This for the people who ain't always had an I dotted and a T crossed. I need some people who done failed before, who done made some mistakes before, who done fell on they flat on their behind before. And the Lord, it took that for you to hear God for a change, because while things were going well, you were too busy to bless him. You were too rich to give him glory. But when God let you go through enough life, you ain't have no problem hanging around. Then he says to the owner of the boat, Peter, Simon, he's called here. Simon, launch out deeper. He done talked from it. Then he tells Peter, or Simon, who's the owner of the boat, now take this boat and go deeper with it. Go out further than you've gone. Now, experts say that's not what you do. Experts say that in daytime, that's not when you go deep. Nighttime is where you go deep. So because with whatever net you go let down, at daytime, the fish see it. So you're supposed to go when the fish can't see it. Experts say it don't make sense to go where he said go. Which leads us now into a favorable endeavor. Because here's where it's got to come to you versus him. Here is the place where you and I argue with God. And we don't admit it in church, but it's where we argue with God. Can I show you? He says to Peter, launch out into the deep. This ain't where I want you fishing. I just got through preaching. But I want you now, I done blessed this boat. And I want you to go deeper. Because, see, I done caught these fish. I want you to go catch those fish. My plan is for you to be able to take ministry to a next level. But if you don't start letting me bless your boat and listen to this word, you can't never go further and you'll never go deeper. Lord, God wants to bless somebody right now. God wants to take you higher right now. But can I insult you real quick? You're too smart. I know that don't sound right. Too many of y'all got too much sense for God to use you. Look how y'all looking at me now. Y'all so smart. So when God say go right, your sense say, I better go left. I'm teaching Ben, you saying amen. God said, the Lord tells Peter, launch out into the deep. But his experience say, I don't need to go out there. His years on the boat, I'm sorry, his years as a fisherman tells him don't go out there right now. His years in the church, I'm sorry, his years as a fisherman says it's not the good time to go out deep. I don't care what the vision is. I don't care what God said. Experience teaches me we don't need to go out there because I'm smart. I got experience. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that the Lord showed up when you failed? Because failure make you listen. Jesus, hold your boy up right now. Can I tell you something as a pastor? Because I love y'all. I don't care about you being mad. Y'all already mad. But can I tell you something as a pastor? That's why half of us here right now. Because some failed. That ain't working. I need Jesus. I don't know what else to do. I need Jesus. I'm so tired. I need Jesus now. I'm at the end of my rope. I need Jesus now. It's bottom of the night. I need Jesus now. That's just the truth of it. That if it weren't for some trouble, most of us wouldn't be here right now. And you know that the Lord at least is going to tell you right. Whether you want to hear it or not, you know the Lord will at least tell you what's right. So you ought not be uppity right after you failed. And the Lord's trying to help you. But now you got to get over the trauma of what didn't go right last night and get back on that boat again. I'm talking to traumatized Christians who are just still dealing with the damage from what didn't go right. You know the Lord is telling you the right thing, but you can't get past your feelings of the failure and the frustration to walk into what God said do. So he says, Peter, take this boat I just blessed and launch out into the deep. Go where you shouldn't go according to people. And go where I said go according to my word. And then he says, let down your net for a drop. Oh, man. He didn't say, don't just go out there. Go do something when you go out there. Now, the nets they used were called trammel nets they used in this day. It was a three different nets in this apparatus. They let it down on one end and catch the fish. And by the fish try to swim through, it catches them in the middle. Try again. It invites them on the front end, catch them on the middle, and bring them in on the back end. I'm going to try it one more time. It's called a trammel net. And it's got three different sections of netting. The first is designed to just draw you. And fish don't know they're being drawn. And so they're drawn by what's out there and wide. But as they move, they have to start adjusting to the size of the net. And because they're trying to squeeze in, they have to fit in, they're now getting caught up because they're having to fit in. And by the time they squeeze through, they're now ready to be brought in the boat. That's how a whole lot like salvation. Because a lot of us got brought in a certain way, but after a certain amount of time, you got to stay in the net, and then you end up getting caught up. And now somebody just can't help but serve him. You can't help but bless him. Can't help but praise him. See, some of y'all on the seas are just being caught. That's why you can't shout right now. But when you know by now that the Lord done caught you, and he done saved you, and you look at every other option, you glad to be caught. You glad to be saved. Here it is. Here we are. Y'all ready for us? Y'all ready for us? Simon says to him, he says to him, Master. Missed it. That's the first time this word, this term, has been used in Luke's gospel. Master. I'm going to get there in a minute, but I got to stop right there. Master. I thought you the master, Peter. Missed it. That's your boat. That's your child. That's your house. That's your money. That's your body. Get in enough trouble. Master. When you get to a point, you don't want to run that no more. You just want the Lord to have his way in you, through you. You'll start calling him master. You stop trying to be the boss. Don't have anybody who's made their mind, I ain't trying to be the boss no more. I just want to go with the flow of God. I ain't trying to run nothing. I ain't trying to call the shot. I done failed too much to try to act like I got the answer. Master? Y'all ain't right. That's why I know I'm giving the right word today. Thank you, Lord, I'm giving the right word. Because I got too many smart folk. I got too many masters who won't let you run it. Yes, sir, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I got too many folk who trying to run it. So you can get on social media and look at what you did. But I need somebody who know I can front all I want to for people. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I need a real witness. If it had not been for the favor of God, I ain't that smart. My credit won't get it. My money too funny. I ain't got good sense. I know there's a God somewhere. All right, here it is. Simon, that's why he's called Simon here and not Peter, because he still struggles with his pre-Christ self. He still struggles with his flesh man, because he tells Jesus, Master, I recognize you done blessed my boat. I thank you for that sermon you gave. But we have toiled all night and caught nothing. We've been. Were you telling me to go? We went. The four of us went. And we toiled. That means we worked against ourselves. All night. At the right time. At the right place. With the right nets. With the right boats. And caught nothing. Can I tell y'all a secret? I feel him. See, too many of y'all, I need to say this to you, too many of y'all too deep even in your prayers. It's okay to say to the Lord, I don't understand. I recognize you still sovereign. I recognize you my master, but Lord, I got to tell you what I'm feeling. I got to tell you what I'm going through. I got to tell you what's going on with me. Then you get to saying, but nevertheless, I wish somebody had I had a witness here. See, you stop trying to be deep and say stuff impressive. Lord, we just went out there, and I'm frustrated. But nevertheless, I trust your word more than I trust my work. I trust your word more than I trust my belief. I trust your word more than I trust my emotion. See, don't stop your prayer at the problem. Keep your prayer going, and he'll give you an answer. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. I don't feel like dying for folks who don't love me. I don't feel like going to a cross for people who ain't gonna save me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now, if Jesus can struggle with stuff, that means you and I can struggle with stuff. I kind of come real quick and talk to some of you deep Christians who say you ain't never had a problem, that you'll never go through struggles. The devil is a lie. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life hurts. Sometimes life is difficult. But nevertheless, I trust God. God's word. I trust God's will. I trust God's way. I got nevertheless people in Zion today. I'm going through a storm, but nevertheless he gonna bring me out. I got the people in the house who say I'm going through pain, but nevertheless he will heal me. I'm going through trouble, but nevertheless he'll be with me. Nevertheless, at your word. I say it's a favorable endeavor. Because the hard part wasn't catching the fish. The hard part is catching Peter. The hard part ain't healing your body. The hard part is you believing he can. The hard part ain't him bringing that blessing. The hard part is you thinking that he can do it for you. You are one nevertheless from your blessing. You are one nevertheless from your breakthrough. Now look how y'all shut down off a prophetic word. Because you don't want to deal with the reality. And I don't know who told us that the Christian life, we're going to have its bumps and bruises. It's going to have them. Even for the best of us. You can do everything right and some still go wrong. You can eat your vegetables and still catch COVID. You can go to work every day and they still lay you off. You can be a good husband and she still not do right. Be a good wife, he still won't come home. But you got to be able to say, Lord, I don't understand why, but nevertheless, at your word. Now, y'all, let me teach one more time.
Yes.
You can't agree to something you ain't heard. He told Simon, go. And everything in Simon's mind, his heart, even his will says, don't go. Because I just spent all my time, all my energy and my resources going right there. And the Lord will have you go right back to where you failed to see if you trust your faith above your failure. Wait a minute, though. Peter said something interesting. Can I unpack it real quick? Peter said something interesting. He says, we have toiled all night. Peter, maybe your problem wasn't where you went. You forgot somebody. Because you told the Lord, we went without you out there. But the Lord's saying, if I done gave you a word for it, that means I got something waiting on you when you get there. All right. So the Bible says, it's a favorable endeavor. It was a favorable. Now, what made it favorable was not the conditions, because the conditions were not favorable. It was day. It was warmer. It was not when everybody else, the experts do it. It's not favorable because it's right after a failure. It's not a good time to go because I just messed up. Not a good time to go because that didn't work right. Not a good time to go because everybody watching. Now, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, maybe God already had talked to them fish. And had them fish at an appointed place. At an appointed time. Just wait. What was I saying to you? That your solution is older than your problem. Somebody got to get that word in their spirit. That all your solutions is waiting on a problem to catch up to it. God already got a solution, but you got to have the right problem. See, somebody had to die for all sins of mankind. All he needed was somebody to get on the cross. Your solution is older than your problem, but you just got to find enough problems so you can get to your solution. It's fish out there, but I had to let you fail and then trust me to go get the fish. And if you keep trusting you, you'll never get the fish I want you to have.
Oh, man.
Did somebody receive that? That your solution is older than your problem. Your problem need to catch up to your solution. I need somebody to receive that because you got something coming this week. You got something coming up these next couple weeks, and you need to know that your solution is already there. Your solution is out, but your problem got to catch up. So if it's going to take me a few days to get there, I'm all right, because my solution is already older than my problem. See, you don't need God won't meet you. God can't be late somewhere he's already been. God can't get there early. He's there, he never left. He's already in your solution while you're working out your problem. I need you to get that in your spirit. The solution is older. What you worrying for? What you stressing for? Your solution is older than your problem. Why are you trying to figure it out? It's already been worked out. You just got to walk it out. Do I have anybody in the house who's resolved in their spirit? I'm not going to work it out because it's already been worked out. But God, keep me so I can walk it out because you already got it worked out. Hey! Keep walking. Hallelujah. Keep getting up in the morning. Because your solution is older than your problem. And your problem got to catch up to your solution. If God is sovereign, you mean to tell me he didn't know you go face what you're facing? That's how y'all gonna play God today. That he didn't know that you would go see this. Now, I gotta tell you something about God and blessings and miracles. He don't always include you in every detail. Because while he deliver you, he wanna develop you. Because if he don't develop you, you'll start walking. You'll stop walking. So he'll develop you so you'll keep walking. And by the time you're walking, you're walking into deliverance. And then watch this. When you get deliverance and development, you won't need deliverance anymore. I'm going to try it again. When you get your development, you won't need as much deliverance. Because you're developed by the word, so now you'll be able to tell yourself, I bet you the next time y'all fish, you're going to take the Lord. All right. Say, nevertheless, at that word, we're going to go do it. Don't make sense, but I trust your word. See, if y'all can learn how to be honest with God like that, you'll see blessings. But you keep trying to tell him all this, oh, thou God of above who made the universe. You better say, Lord, I don't get it. but I trust you. And I know you wouldn't bring me this far and leave me now. I look back over my life and I see how you made a way. I see how you opened doors. I see how you protected me. And I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, that even though I can't trace you, help me to trust you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to walk away from you. I trust you through it. I trust you in it. I trust you with it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll go. The Bible says, watch this, y'all. Jesus told Peter what to do, and here's your shout. Peter did it. I ain't got nothing with that. Can you imagine the blessings available if we would just do what the Lord? Let down your net. And the Bible says, time he let down, them fish start running to a net. So much so that the net began to break. Now, it's interesting because the Lord's trying to show him something, right? Y'all read this enough to know he said, I'm going to make you fishermen of men. But I got a question. Because typically, when you fish, them fish go die. But I'm trying to show you a process that the fish you catch, you go save. Maybe the reason you can't win doing it your way, because you go profit. But if you do it my way, you have the same process, yeah, but different prosperity. Yeah. Because can I show you what the Bible says? The Bible says it was so much, so many fish, that it say, hey, fellas.
Missed it.
See, when you're successful, you tend to get selfish. And you'll lose fish you're supposed to catch being selfish. Some of y'all lose blessings because you selfish. But God says, for this fishing trip, I'm trying to show you how to share, boys and girls. I'm not giving you overflow so you can brag. I'm giving you overflow so it can spill on somebody else's boat. Hey, James and John, we need some help with this. Because they failed too. They failed too. Jesus didn't get on James and John's boat. He's going to trust you to bless their boat. Now, here's the problem. You trying to keep all this fish to yourself, you're going to sink your own boat. So sometimes you need to share to save your own life. That's enough. That's enough. That might be enough. That sure tastes good, but that's enough. James and John, need some help with this. Peter looked at all this catch, this surplus, and nothing changed but who you put on your boat. And Jesus and God are the only ones who can give you the right stuff at the wrong time. Do y'all hear God? Go to the doctor, but put it in God's hand. Go to the bank, but put it in God's hands. Because God knows how to take time and slow it down, speed it up, appoint it. Because he don't need a right time to do the right thing. And at a time where experts say you shouldn't catch, God did more than enough to show you that he's God and you're not. Peter got so overwhelmed that he fell down in worship. Can I ask y'all something? Has God ever blown your mind? You couldn't do nothing but just sit there and say, Lord, have mercy. I need somebody to help me testify. Has God ever blessed your socks off that you fall down on your knees crying, said, Lord, I don't deserve you. Please get away. It's just like what Isaiah did. I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve this blessing. I don't deserve this honor. I don't deserve this glory. Lord, woe is me. Has God ever blown your mind to where you don't even know what to say? All you can do is fall down and say, God. And Jesus tells him, get up, because I want to show you, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm done now. But that brought about a fruitful experience. Because the fruitfulness wasn't just catching fish. It was catching Peter and Andrew and James and John. Because when they say, if you say so, Lord, they caught fish, but God caught them. The Bible says they took off their equipment, forsook all, and followed him. Here's where it's tough. He told them what they're going to be. He didn't tell them, follow me. They were just so grateful. They had no choice. Follow him. Is there anybody in Zion who has seen God's blessings? You've seen God's hand on your life that you know you have no choice but to follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back this time. No turning back. Though no one joins me, still I'll follow. Though no one will join me, still I'll follow. It's got to be personal. Then another part of the song says, you can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Anybody there? You can have this whole world. Take your stuff. Take your people. Just give me Jesus. Today I want to invite you to a relationship with Jesus. This is another call to him. Somebody who has been not committing themselves to him. He keeps blessing your boat, blessing your situation. It's not because of you, it's because of his favor on your life. And he's got to be more than a provider. He's got to be your savior. Because he wants to show you more than you ever could imagine. But I invite you today to a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Won't you come? Then if you are saved today, but you have not made that full commitment, you're saying, if you say so, Lord, but I'm not saying so. You want to recommit yourself to Christ today. You see what's available. You're tired of trying to figure your life out on your own, but today you say, I want the Lord to be in my boat. I want the Lord to have control. I invite you to a relationship today, renewed relationship. Won't you come, my brother, my sister? I'm talking about for real commitment with Christ. That you make a decision, I'm going to follow him. I'm tired of trying to figure it out and work it out through my own intellect. I'm not an expert. I'm trusting God. Are there others today? Mr. Foster, Mr. Moss, would you come?